Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you that we can come to you. We thank you for your precious word. And Lord, as we look over scriptures, which many of us are pretty familiar with, there's always things to learn and teach us, if you would, through your spirit, to grow in these areas where we need to grow in as we become, with your help and with your cleansing and with your washing us with your word, we become more like Christ. And so that is our objective, to gain that likeness and to be like you, Lord Jesus. So help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, as we look at Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 22, and we may go through 33 today, see how it goes. But it's, you may think, oh, that's how husbands are to love their wives and wives are to submit to their husbands. I know all that. And the answer to that is, yes, it is. However, there's actually more in this section on Christ and the church, really, than there is on husbands and wives. And so that's the part that we really haven't emphasized, at least I haven't emphasized in the past, at least as much as I'm going to emphasize it this morning, that is. And so I picked this old hymn that we've sung before, Sam Wesley's hymn, The Church is One Foundation, and these old hymns are so rich in their doctrine that it tells us so very, very much. So let's sing along, if you will, with The Church is One Foundation. Amen and amen. Well, as we look at Ephesians 5, 22 to 33, we're in this section what we would call Christian marriage. We would call it wives and husbands. We would call husbands, love your wives and have happy wives, maybe. Good morning. And we really are going to focus quite a bit today on Christ and the church. Christ and the church. In telling husbands and wives how to behave toward one another, we're really introduced into one of the best doctrinal presentations of Christ and the church in the scriptures right here in chapter 5. And the mystery that we're going to be talking about and discovering maybe for the first time, maybe not, maybe you already know all this, is the parallel between husband and wife and between Christ and the church. The husband is to be the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. The wife is to be submissive to the husband, just as we, the church, are to be submissive to our husband, Jesus Christ. So that's the mystery here, and that's the comparable. You will see a comparative word as in five verses today's study. The first four verses all have a comparable to as in them, and it's all for the human to be as Jesus Christ. And so as we read these verses, I have purposely, as we look down a little bit in the notes, I have purposely highlighted in a larger font the part of these verses that relates to Christ and the church, and you'll see most of the copy today is about Christ and the church as opposed to husbands and wives. The key verses here as we get into this from last time, verse 18 in the last session in chapter 5 was be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit as who's receiving this letter. This is only for Christians today. It's not for non-Christians. Non-Christians won't understand any of this. In fact, they will tell you, you are absolutely crazy, wives, to submit to your husband. Don't you know what age you're living in? Don't you know about women's rights and all this stuff? They won't understand it. But you don't have to pay too much attention to the world. The world's way is terrible. The world's way for marriages right now is well over 50% end up in divorce. The latest study out on evangelical Christians, true evangelical Christians, it's less than 10%. But whatever the statistics are, we still are rebellious people, so even if we're Christians, we're not always going to be obedient, right? But these are words from the Creator himself. I think we need to pay attention to the operating manuals, because operating manuals are written, generally anyway, to make you as happy with the product as you can be, right? Because you operate it correctly. If you want to know how to operate a good marriage, it's going to be told to us here. Maybe not so simple as you might think. Oh yeah, there's two rules. Wives submit to your husbands. Husband loves your wife. Let's go have coffee. That's all this is in here. Well, yes and no. But each of these rules is not how you're going to do it, but you're doing it how God does it. Ooh, I can't do that. Well, you can get closer to that as we go through life here with his help. So verse 22 then says, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Those are the key words, as to the Lord. Next verse, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ. Key words, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Verse 24, therefore, another one, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Now for the husbands. Husbands thinking you got it made, you don't have to submit to anybody. Wrong. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now that's a level so high, we could never attain it. But that's the goal. That's what we're told to do. So don't you think, I mean, just because you pulled the chair out for your wife last time she sat down or something, you've demonstrated love to its highest level and you can just kind of coast from now on. Because the standard here, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That is quite a sentence there, and we'll break that down a little bit. And we will see the level of Christ's love for the church is so high that when we compare our husbands, compare our love to our wives, we will see, you know, we don't even get on the meter, really. But that, don't be discouraged, because he will get us on that meter if we do what he asks us to do as we go forward. because we're in a state of construction, all of us, every one of us. We're not there yet. But we know from previous studies that perfect day is coming when in glory, it'll be only God and the believers, his church, forever, and he will have perfected every single believer to perfection. What a day that's going to be. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. We call that sanctification as we become more Christ-like. And you may not believe it. You may think sanctification is up to you. It's not. Sanctification is what God does in his children that he has called and they have responded. And it's a continuous thing. You're not sanctified. You are sanctified to a point the day you accept Christ. But there's a continuous sanctification all the way to glory. Because we're not perfect yet. Anybody perfect? You can leave right now. You don't have to stay and listen to this. You've already got it made. Of course, then we'll give you a sermon on lying. So as we read on here, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. Who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. That's the last just as we have, I believe. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, that's an interesting statement. That's one of the mystery statements right there. How do you figure you're a member of the body of Christ, the flesh of Christ, and the bones of Christ? Verse 31, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to the wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So that's the scripture right there, and we will try to take that apart a little bit. And let me just double check. Can you see me and hear me all right, Zoom people out there? All right? Okay, I think you are. Okay, good. We go forward. So verse 22, there's actually a definite article in front of wives in the original, so it's really the wives, submit to your own husbands. In some of the original manuscripts, the word submit is not there. It doesn't have to be there because this is a follow-on from the previous verse. The previous verse said, spirit-filled people, submit to one another in the fear of God, wives, to your own husbands, is what some of the originals say. But it's understood to be submit because that's what the subject of the previous verse was submitting to everyone, right? So we have here, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. So that's the key there, wives. Now, you've got three persons in every Christian marriage: Jesus Christ, the husband, and the wife. Both husband and wives are to submit to Jesus Christ, always, always, no matter what. Wives, to submit to your husband as you do to Jesus Christ. So as you submit to Christ, you're submitting to the one in authority over you in the marriage. A little different level. You're only a bond slave of Christ. Wives, you're never a bond slave of your husband. So there's a little difference there. And one of the things we have to mention, I think, is what a Christian marriage is. Many people just think, well, it's the same as every other marriage. It's just that the husband and wife are Christians. Total new ball game for Christians. Total new ball game. What is marriage anyway these days? It's basically just to legalize physical attraction and self-gratification. And you see these people, they're so in love. Oh, my, they're so in love. And a month later, they're divorced. Marriage is not just that. It is that, but it's so much more, because you're talking about starting out, you know, if you took a triangle up here, the husband here, the wife here, Christ here, and as you become closer to the Lord, as you grow in the Lord, what happens to the marriage? It's better and better and better and better and better. The upside in a Christian marriage is unlimited. There is no upside in a non-Christian marriage. Maybe a survival mode, but that's about it. You don't want to go there. And you don't want to try to convince non-Christians to do this because they aren't going to understand it, because there's this mystery in this that has to be understood only through the power and revealing of the Holy Spirit. And a non-believer, I don't care if they're Einstein and the smartest person in the world, they don't have a clue what you're talking about. That's crazy. I would never do that. I'd never live that way. Who would live that way? Well, God says live that way. So if you don't like what we're saying, you got a bigger problem than what you're thinking the world thinks of it or whatever. So we see then, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. So that follows on, as I mentioned, from the previous verse. Now, as we'll get into a couple, three more verses from now, the other half of the story is what the husbands are supposed to do. And that's very important, because we've got these two different things here for husbands are different than for wives. But husbands, it's very simple too. Love your wives, as we already read, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That's the other side of the coin. Now, God, in his magnificent wisdom, knowing us because he made us, he knows that we need to submit to one another, and he knows that we need to love one another. And he has chosen, I don't know for what reasons, because I don't know when you say why God does something, we'll stop with the question right away, because there's no answer to the why God questions, right? Some people say, well, it's easier for women to love than it is for men. Men have a hard time with love, and I think that's probably right, generally speaking. And women have a hard time to submit, and I think that's generally speaking. And there are exceptions to all of this, of course. But this is from the maker of us. He knows what we need. He knows what a marriage means. And he brought man and woman together before the fall, perfect condition. Everything in the Bible up to introducing Eve to Adam was very good. But then we read in Genesis when God gave Adam the authority over everything. Man has got a very high level. We have so reduced man in this society today. We make the husband and the man and the patriarch of the family to be buffoons and imbeciles. By the Flintstones and all those other shows, the guy is always just a total idiot, right? Because we've dumbed down what man is. But God has, he's the first one created. He's the only created being that God spoke to in the creation. But when he named all the animals, all two by twos, he got done. And God said, it is not good, Adam, that you're alone. I will make you a helper. So out of Adam's side, woman was created. Woman came from man. That's why in the authority thing here from creation, man is always on the top of the authority chain for man, because he is created that way, given those powers, given those capabilities to do what God wants him to do. But he needs help. He needs a compliment. He needs somebody to help him in his deficiencies. And that's a big chore for some of you wives. All your husbands will have deficiencies. There's no perfect ones unless you go to the real husband you have, which is Jesus Christ. He's perfect, right? But all the rest of us are kind of a mess. We really are. But we need your help. And so as we continue here, these are the two rules. And there's two four-letter words here that only differ with one letter, if you kind of keep in mind. If you do what God tells you to do, you can have a beautiful duet, D-U-E-T. If you don't want to submit to your husband's wives, and husbands, if you don't want to love your wives, you will have a duel, D-U-E-L. Get the swords out. We're going to fight. So is your marriage more of a duel or a duet? You don't have to answer to me. I mean, this is anytime I ask these questions, I'm not looking for an answer, because it doesn't matter what your answer is. I'm not going to be judging you, but there is somebody who is going to be judging you, and that's who you want to make sure you're speaking correctly to. Now, the next key word here in this is wives submit to your husbands. Here's the key: as to the Lord. That is always the criterion in this whole study. It's the Lord's criterion. And he gave us the example. He gave us the example. So the example is going to be Lord's example here, this mystery. He's the husband of the bride that's being formed. And we'll see here that he gave sacrificially himself for the church and continues to give himself for the church and will continue to give himself for the church till glory. And then we'll be with him in glory, all perfected. So he's done it all. So we want to do it as to the Lord. So it fits all believers. It fits the wives. It fits the husbands. And both husbands and wives have the same objective, to be doing as to the Lord, right? But you have the authority figures in here to have order in the marriage. You know, if you've got a big jet coming in and all of a sudden you've got wind shear factors all out of thing and the plane's about to crash, you don't want two or three captains trying to decide what to do. It's not going to work. You need somebody authority-wise. And maybe, take a military, for example. You have a perfect example of authority in military ranks. The lowest rank submits to the one above them. Now, the one at the bottom of the chain may be the smartest one in the army. And the one at the top of the chain may not be so smart, but you still submit. So this is not an intelligence thing. It's not that, well, wives are dumber, so they need to. No, it's not that at all. But God has put man in authority. And the example there for us is the chain there in marriage is God the Father on top, Jesus Christ the Son under the Father, submitting to the Father, right? And you got the Holy Spirit submitting to that. And then under that, you have the husband submitting to God. And under that, you have the wife. And then you're going to the children and so forth, as we'll get to in chapter 6. So that's the order here. So wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And you know, wives, just think a minute. How is it easy for you to submit to Jesus Christ? Well, if you're a believer, you've already made the decision, or you wouldn't be a believer, that he loved you so much that he died for you. And he continues to love you. And he continues to be perfect in every way. And when you recognize his love is unlimited, really, in our way of thinking, we can't help but love him, right? We can't help but submit to him. Well, nothing has changed in this study from that at all. That's still your objective. But now you have your husband who he's put you with, and you want to build up your husband. And we're going to see the husband's got a huge job here, a much bigger job than the wife in a way, but that's not to demean the woman, because the woman's job may be just as hard or maybe harder. It depends on the marriage and so forth. But when God lays these rules out, he's not playing any favorites. He's not saying, well, I'm going to make it easier for you than for you, because it's going to be perfect for everybody. So if you do what God tells you to do here, it's perfect. Now, you may tell the Lord at times, I don't want to submit to you, Lord. I'm tired of this submission. And you may have this rebellious stuff, which we dealt. We still have that in us, don't we? Maybe not quite to that extent. But, you know, I don't feel like submitting today. I think I'm going to do this. I don't think it's the best thing for me, and I shouldn't be doing it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't think many of you have ever made that decision, but I've made a few. But we want to please him. And so pleasing him, we do what he says, and this is what he says, wise to submit as to the Lord. Verse 23. Now, why? There's a four here in verse 23. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And then four, the husband is the head of the wife. We've already been talking about that. Colossians 11:3 says, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So if you don't like this order, then you can the husband is head of the wife, as also what? Christ is head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. So the first part of that, as also Christ is the head of the church. I don't think any of us argue that Christ is the head of the church. Why is he head of the church? Because he bought the church with his own blood. fully God, fully man, bought the church. He died to buy the church. He loved the church so much he gave all that he had. He was in heaven, the throne, the creator of everything on earth, and he humbled himself and came all the way down to this earth. And when he got here, he wasn't the chief potentate over the earth, which he could have been. He went all the way down to the bottom of the men in this earth, right? And ended up dying for your sin and for my sin like nobody could die, taking the wrath of God for your sin and my sin, thereby buying the church, because every believer is part of the church. We're talking about the true church, the biblical church. We're not talking about the worldly church. You look about how many world church members there are that would mean anything compared to what this is, because this is true believers that we're talking about, not just people that go to a service once in a while, or all the time, really, for that matter. So, as also Christ is head of the church, so the church readily, and even more readily as the church gets perfected, has no trouble submitting to the head. The analogy often used is the body. Do you have trouble in your body submitting to the brain? Well, I hope not, because you're going to be really a spastic mess if you do. No, this is part of me. My head's part of me, and it's telling me what to do. We're joined. We can't be separated. We're one, and I'm going to cooperate. If I want to pick up, say, this phone right here, I send a signal from my brain down through my hand, through my shoulder, arm, and, you know, I want to pick it up smoothly. I don't want to, you know, jerking around, and the hand says, I'm not going to go with the arm, you know, or whatever. No, you're coordinating, right? So the husband and the wife are having this beautiful duet. They're coordinating their lives. They're coordinating these things as they go through them, helping one another, not fighting each other, right? You got plenty to fight about, right? Don't you? You got plenty of problems. And if you don't have any problems today, you'll have them tomorrow. God gives us problems. They're good. Don't deny them and don't say, oh, I don't want any more problems. The only time, you know, if you go by, there's a cemetery down here on Giesler Street and 405. I don't think any of those people in there have any problems anymore. You know, they got some grass over them, but they don't seem to have any problems. But until you're there in this body, you're going to have problems, right? Because it's through the problems that he is changing us. We don't change very well when everything's going well. You know, if we get all our prayers answered, I want peace, I want prosperity, I want wisdom, I want everything there is, and I don't want any sickness, I don't want any problems with my kids, I don't want anything. How much are you going to grow in that? You're not going to grow at all. In fact, you're going to go the other way. You're going to get more and more convinced that it's you because you're such a super person and you don't have any problems. And ain't I great? Oh, yeah, I don't pray anymore. I don't need to pray anymore. I don't read my Bible anymore. I know it all, right? That's a bad position to be in, isn't it? And that's a little extreme, but that's the way we tend to be, I think. So Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. Now, how can the husband be the savior of the wife? Well, first of all, savior at the Christ level is a capital S, and at the husband level, it's a little s. We cannot save our wives salvation-wise, you know that. But we can protect them and comfort them and shield them as Christ does the church. So you could also translate that as one who preserves. He's a preserver. We're to be helping and preserving our wives to protect them, to keep them from danger and so forth. So that's why we're to be the savior of the body. Now, I mentioned creation already, the reason the woman is under the man from creation. Now, there's another thing that happened there that even subordinates the woman farther under the husband or under the man, and that was that Eve fell. This was in perfect condition in the Garden of Eden. And whatever the reason was, she knew with a major question like this of eating this forbidden fruit, she should have talked to her husband about it. But she didn't. She went on her own, and she was tempted, and she succumbed to the temptation. She ate the forbidden fruit. Now sin enters the world, and death through sin, the fall. She gave some to her husband, and he ate. His sin is even worse, because he's the head of mankind, and he willingly ate. So that's That's the sin that had to be undone by Jesus Christ. But we read here, God says to Eve then in the 16th verse of chapter 3, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. So Eve got knocked down another notch because of what she did there. So there's more of a gap there between man and woman after the fall than there was before the fall. But there was already a gap there before the fall because of creation. So what about the wife who doesn't want her husband to be ruling over her? Well, that wife doesn't understand biblical marriage. And she'll be fighting against that all the way through. And it's going to be a bad marriage. Or turn that around. What does a husband say? Well, I don't want to really love my wife more than I'm loving her now, because I told her we got married. I loved her. That should be enough. You know, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. That's pretty good, isn't it? No, I don't think so. I saw this one story and I had a smile in one of the commentaries, but there was this couple out on the farm in the Midwest, and they have a lot of tornadoes there. And one spring during tornado season, during the night, the husband and the wife were both sleeping in bed, and the tornado came by and lifted the roof of the house off and lifted them out of the bed and took them a ways and let them back down. And as they touched down, the wife was crying, and the husband said, oh, it's okay, honey. Don't worry about it. We'll be safe. She says, no, I'm not crying because of that. I'm just so overjoyed. This is the first time we've been out together in 20 years. So you might take your wife out once a little more often than every 20 years, or waiting for a tornado to take you out of the house is not the better. So he's the savior of the body, and we mentioned that that's what the head does to the body. It protects the body, guides the body, and helps the body. That action must always be coordinated between husband and wife. You don't want them fighting. This does not mean the wife is inferior. It does mean the wife is different. And one of the tragic things we have in our society, we have so many, I mean, they're going all day, but trying to make women equal to men in every respect. God didn't create them that way. So you can't do it. You can try. You can try to bring man down and make him an idiot and say, well, look how smart women are, but it's not going to work. So we want to do it the way God says to do it here. Therefore, in lieu of that, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Now, that's a perfect picture there. Think of the church being subject to Christ. The church has got to be subject to Christ because he's the head of the church. So let the wives be to their husband in everything. Ooh, that's a big word, in everything. Are there any exceptions? Yes, there are. Same, think of our submission to the government in Romans 13. We're to submit to the government, right? What if the government comes against the Bible? Do you surrender to it? No. What if the husband gives his wife unbiblical instruction? Do you surrender to that? No. You don't submit to everything in that kind of a thing. There are exceptions. What if your husband loses his mental incapacity? Are you to surrender some? I don't know if anybody does that or not. But no, that's an exception. There are these exceptions in there. But what this is really saying, you don't, well, you know, I'll surrender to you in these areas over here, but this area over here is mine. I'm not going to surrender to you. That's going to the Lord, right? Saying, Lord, I give you my life. Come into my heart. However, there's a little part of my heart in there I don't want to surrender to you. That's an old sin that I've held on to for a long time, and it's really important to me, and I don't want to give it up. Doesn't work well, does it? So just like with the wives, have to surrender if they want it right in everything that's in accordance with God's will. It's got to be in accordance with God's will. If your husband is doing something not in accordance with God's will, you don't do it. Because you're primarily keyed on pleasing him God, every believer. We please our head, right? The church, we're a member of the church. We please our head, which is Christ. So, verse 25 then, we've already talked about a little bit. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. How do you demonstrate love? You demonstrate it with action. You don't demonstrate it with pretty poems. I mean, pretty poems are fine, but that's not really love. That's just poems. How much you love your wife is really determined on those tough days and those tough times when things are really, really bad. How kind are you to her? How much are you loving your wife? And when times are good, it's easy to show love, right? When your wife is just a sweetheart little thing. Oh, my, I made my favorite food. Oh, I'll be nicer today. That doesn't show love. It shows maybe gratitude for your own body or whatever. But we have the love shown here. He gave himself for her. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That's true demonstration of love. And so when giving himself for, what did he do? What did he accomplish? Well, his accomplishments can really kind of be looked at in a way in terms of what's happened in the past, what's happening now, and what will happen in the future. What happened in the past? Well, we go all the way back to the foundation of the world when it was determined Christ would eventually send his son to die for man, right? That's when it started. And it was fulfilled 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross, thereby dying for the sins of the world and giving every man the opportunity to be saved. His blood is sufficient. That doesn't mean every man is saved, but every man has the ability to be saved. So that's happened. And when we became believers, we were filled with the Holy Spirit and we were sanctified to a point by having our past sins basically forgiven. But now we got the present. And so he gave himself totally to humble himself, as I mentioned, coming to earth and then dying on the cross. And he continues to give because of his great love for the church. And it's what then verse 26 is that came from the sacrificial giving of his life. By dying on the cross, that what? He might sanctify and cleanse her, we're talking about the church now, with the washing of the water by the word. Now, those three things there have different time elements to them. All have a continuing action. The sanctification is a continuing action. The cleansing is a continuing action. And the washing of the water by the word is a continuing action. Unbelievable. It's just so awesome. This is a husband who keeps on giving, right? And so that's our model, husbands. Not to love our wife. Well, I loved her once back there in, 2003. I was really nice one day to her. No, we want to be sanctifying her, helping her grow in every way that is godly. So we have this sanctification. And the sanctification, by the way, is all done by God. If you're his, he's going to sanctify you. That's if you're his. You may think you're his and you're not his, and you may not be sanctified at all. You know that scripture, as we all know, in Matthew 7, where it says, many in that day will cry out, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Those people all think, I believe in that they were saved. So you can think you're saved, but you should be having sanctification going on in your life that's visible to you and really to others that you're changing. Because he's going to change you. He's going to make you perfect. And he's not going to do it all after you die. He's working on us all the way through. So the sanctification is going to happen to his children, whether you like it or not. You can either have a bumpy road or you can have a smoother road by going along with the program. But he's going to change you. He's going to take all your sharp corners and warts and everything else off. He's going to do that. It's all going to be made perfect. You're not going to do it. You can't do that. But you can. You want to not grieve the Holy Spirit or quench the Spirit, right? And then secondly, there's the cleansing, that he might cleanse her. And that is cleaning and continuing to clean. And then again, a lot of teaching going on. Well, we don't need much cleaning anymore because I'm saved and I don't sin like I used to. That's all true. But you still need cleansing because we're in a polluted world and we're always getting, and we still have a part of the pollution still in our flesh. So we need cleansing. Now, it doesn't stop there, because we've got one more term here, with the washing of the water by the word. That's how he's cleansing us, continuing to cleanse us. And the washing of the water by the word, to me, is just simply what the word of God does as you take it in. It cleanses you. Some people try to make that baptism and all, and maybe a little part of it, but baptism doesn't change you. Baptism is a statement that you've been changed. But the Orthodox Catholic Church and so forth, they make a big deal about you're actually justified through baptism. Well, it may be good for church membership, but it isn't fit the scripture. So with the washing of the water by the word. So the cleansing is an idea of purifying. The washing of the water is being washed by the word of God. And that's where the husband can be so effective in helping to sanctify and helping to cleanse his wife by being in the word with her, washing her with the word of God. I really believe that the husband reading through the scriptures to his wife is an especially blessed thing. I've even gone so far as to say that I've experienced it in my own life, that my wife knows the scripture better than I do. I'm not teaching her, I'm reading the scripture together. But still, the position, I have the spiritual leadership in our marriage. I need to be reading the word to her. That doesn't mean that she doesn't read the word a lot, maybe even more on her own, but I'm washing her because I'm reading the word to her and to myself as part of this cleansing thing here, washing of the water by the word. So how many of you, I don't want to show hands, how many of you read through the entire Bible to your wife, maybe in the last 9 months? That's 5 chapters a day. Easy to do. Now, those of you who have got kids and puppies and stuff probably don't have time, but read the Bible to your wife. And I'm not talking about the number of months or whatever, but just be reading the Bible to it. And, you know, about the third or fourth time, or fifth time or sixth time you go through it, it's just, you're just closer together. It just brings you closer together. And again, it sounds a little bit legalistic. But I think you should read the Bible to your wife. I won't say how many times or how many chapters a day, but I will say read the Bible. Not just read it, but be God's spokesman in it. Not teaching. I'm not talking about teaching. Let the Holy Spirit do that. That can ruin a marriage in a hurry if every time you sit down with your wife, you talk down to her and you're like, well, I know the scripture and you don't. Now listen to me. No, that's not going to work. We're submitted to the Lord and not to one another in that regard. So, through the washing of the water by the word, then there's another that here, that what? He might present her to himself a glorious church. Now, what does that mean? That is where every single believer is made perfect. That won't happen till after or at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's not going to happen now. It's getting there, we're getting there, but we won't be the glorious church until everybody's perfected. And that won't be in this world, I do not think. I mean, I know where I am right now. I'm a long way from being perfect, so there's no glorious church as far as I'm concerned right now, because I got a problem right here, right? But getting better, right? That he might present her. So that's the object here of this continuing love he's pouring out on his wife to perfect her. So the picture is God bringing this church, that's all of you and millions more, into perfection. And that's quite a job, isn't it? How he loves us. So that's the way that husbands are to love your wife. So all you husbands think you're pretty close to that now? Or do we have to continue to go on? We got some more things yet you're supposed to do. I got lost 4 verses ago. But I understand what he's saying. And I understand that just because we haven't attained yet does not mean that is what we're to look forward to as our desire and our objective to become more Christ-like. That he might present her to himself. Christ is presenting his bride to himself. Isn't that amazing? He's presenting us to himself. He's the presenter. He is the recipient. It's the husband gathering the wife to himself and perfecting her without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. There's no blemish in the church eventually because of his loving her and perfecting her, that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands, think of your wives. I'm sure you can find some fault with him, unless you're married to Christ. Some women are pretty close. But are they improving under your tutelage, under your care, under your marriage? Because if we're loving them, they should be. Not because of what we do, but because we're part of the program here. We're going along with it. We're not hindering the becoming without spot and blemish, because that's the objective here. So we husbands would want to say at the end of whatever marriage it is, whether it's a few years or maybe a longer time, our wives are freer from blemishes spiritually now than they were when we started. And the same with the husband as well, of course. And when we think of that glorious church, there's nothing comparable to this. That's why when we read some time ago that we read people who said, and I first kind of balked at it, but now I agree, the greatest thing that God ever created was not this universe, but it's the church. The church. The huge body of believers that will last forever. This universe is not going to last forever. It's not going to last too much longer, really. I mean, we got the 1,000-year millennial reign after the Great Tribulation, which could happen any time. And then that's the end of this place. Then we got chapter 21 in Revelation. We got the new heaven, the new earth. The old heaven, earth, heavens and earth are poo. The Big Bang Theory, or whatever it is. Not the Big Bang Theory you read about, but the Big Bang Theory. So, verse 28, husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. Now, here's another standard. He who loves his wife loves himself, and you can probably relate to that, but I think the idea of Christ's love for the church is so much greater than my love for my own body, even though I'm so totally selfish and so totally given over to this flesh. I still can't love myself the way Christ loved the church. But this is another standard. If you have trouble with that other model, here's another thing to look at. Compare yourself to your wife. How do you know, if you cut yourself and she cuts herself, who do you feel the most pain for? Who are you most concerned about healing up? And if you're honest, you'll say, well, I hope she heals up, but I really need to heal up because, man, I'm using this right hand or left hand or whatever hand it is, and I can't do anything without that. Well, what about your wife? Well, she's all right. She can do it with either hand, you know. Maybe. But no, we love our flesh, don't we? We nourish it and we cherish it. But notice the standard, just as the Lord does the church. He's building up the church. He's building up the church all the time, changing the church. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, what does that mean? I can understand the church, but how can I be a member of his body, his flesh, and his bone? Well, the same way Adam said to Eve, in a way, because she was taken out of man and she became part of man. We've been taken out of the old body, the old life, through what he's done for us. We're part of him now. We're in Christ. So think of that in terms of a body. We're in his body, in his flesh, and in his bones. And then he goes ahead, this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So here's another part of this mystery. How do you get one child out of two people? That's as one, well, it comes out one. You have chromosomes from the father, you have chromosomes from the mother, and you get one new life, right? That's the compound unity, the ahad. That's where two become one. And it's the same way that we become one with Christ because we're in his church and we're part of him forevermore. So we become one with him the same way that you become one with your wife or with your husband when you're married here. I think that's what this means. And it is, say, we do read that this is a great mystery in the next verse. So you can know that when it says great mystery, that doesn't mean I don't understand that. I don't know what that means. It's not what great mystery means in the Bible to a believer. What a great mystery means is that's discernible by the Spirit. Without the Spirit, it's not discernible. So if you read any of this to non-believers, they won't have a clue what you're talking about. Not a clue. I don't care how smart they are, Einstein or whoever they are. Without the Spirit filling, they can't understand the things of the Spirit. And this is spiritual. If you want to look at the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, there's a great about 10 verses there on the fact that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit, nor can he know them. That's what we're talking about here, mystery-wise. But with the Spirit, you get the discernment of Christ. And here he says, the great mystery I speak of concerns Christ and the church. And the mystery is that it's exactly like, or exactly like, the marriage relationship here on earth. Or really put it in a better way, our marriage relationship on earth is to be exactly like that. That's a mystery, is what he says. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. And then we'll close here with this final verse, where he goes back to the marriages again. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, husbands. And wives, let the wife see that she respects her husband. That's kind of the summary there in this little section of the marriage. And so it's self-explanatory, really, because that's just what we've been talking about. We're to do just what he said we're to do. And if you put it all together, just as we read this here, it's really the answer. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That's really the whole message here, because it's all like Christ and the church. So again, just kind of breaking it down a little bit. Christ is the husband of the church. Christ is the head of the church. Husbands, you are the husband of your wife. You are a head over your wife in the same similar standard, and according to God's word, God's will. And then wives, we're wives too, men, because we're part of the church. The church is the bride of Christ, right? And we submit to our head, Jesus Christ, just as wives are to submit to their husband. So this is this great mystery where you can take a picture of a perfect marriage and it becomes that of Christ's relationship with the church. Again, if you picture it as a triangle, three in a marriage, husband, wife, Jesus Christ. As you both grow closer to Christ, what happens to you as you come closer to Christ? You get closer together, don't you? So that Christian marriage should continue to improve as long as you have breath. And again, I mean, kind of barring physical things and, you know, terminal illnesses and stuff. I mean, that all comes into it. But you should be growing toward Christ, right? We want to be growing toward Christ as long as we have breath, right? And if you're both growing towards Christ in a husband-wife relationship, you're going closer together, right? So your marriage's upside is unlimited. Unlimited. Because as high as you can get and as close as you can get, it's still not up to the standard that God has given us. Because God's standard is perfection. And we'll get there, but not, I don't believe, in these bodies. I think we'll get there in glory. Father, we thank you for the study today. I just pray for each one here that we would be totally submitting to you, Lord, and we would be doing everything under the gauge or under the test. Does this please the Lord? Am I honoring my Lord in whatever I'm doing? And oh, Lord, you have blessed husbands so much with wonderful wives. Such a blessing. Are we really loving them? Are we really honoring them? Are we really looking to them as being created by you and the areas of shortcomings and so forth, whatever they may be? We are praying for blessings there. We are praying for help there. We are not wanting to take advantage of any soft spots. We are to watch over our wives as you watch over us, Lord Jesus. So bless the marriages here. And bless our walk with you, each one of us. Not everybody is married here, but everybody is part of the bride of Christ. And so this fits us all. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.